So we're going to conclude the first section, what we call the Maslulei Emuna, the paths of faith, here in the Or LaShav of Rav Volbi. And he concludes with an interesting section, Perek Chamish, that he calls Mekoros, sources. And in this Perek, he quotes Albright and Einstein and other interesting phenomena. I want to start with the end and then come back to the beginning. The last section here in Or LaShav in Maslulei Emuna on page Tesvav, he quotes the description of the kosher and non-kosher animals in Parshas Re'eh. So where the Torah describes these are the kosher animals, shor, seik, sav, and v'seizim, ox, cow, sheep, goat, all that stuff. And then the Torah says these are the, and all the animals that have chewing their cud and split hooves, they have the simanei kashrus. But what are the things that you don't eat? Fourth line. So the Torah tells us these kinds of animals, what are they? The shesua, the gomel, the arnevis. There are four things that are malagera but don't have split hooves, and then the chazir, all these things. And he quotes a medrash. Shol Rabbi Akiva v'chi Moshe tzar chayos haya? Was Moshe Rabbeinu a hunter? Then he knew all these animals. Shehikir kol abeim el sheba olam. I'm on page Tezvav, second to last paragraph on the left side. Sheyada bebiru she'en yoser me'eser beimos balish ne'simanim. That there are no more than 10 types of animals that have these two simanim. Ve'en yoser mechamisha minim bale siman echad, that there are no more than 5 kinds of animals that have one siman. Mikan, says the Medrash, tshuva lemisha omer, it's a response to anyone who says, ein tor min hashamayim. You're going to tell me that the Torah is not a divine document, so how could the Torah tell you an exact number of animals which have specific indicators, these physiological, these biological signs? How did the Torah know? Maybe there are some animals that are going to appear that you never heard of, that you didn't know. So the Medrash says, the Sifri says, that proves that Torah is min hashamayim. That's the indicator. And then in the next paragraph, he quotes on the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel, you know, lived in the 15th century in very sophisticated Spanish high society before he had to run away. He says, Mipnei Otsa Machachma, last paragraph, Sha'oisa B'chachma Yisrael B'davar Zeh. The fact that Chachma Yamasorah had incredible insight into how the moon works and the sun and the calendar. Hiflig Ptolemus, who is Pei Tes Vav Lamed Mem Aleph Vav Samach. Who is that? Ptolemy, the Greek dude. Hayuni, Hayavani, the Greek guy. L'shabeach ulufar mishim tzizeh amachzor shol yutes shonu b'melecha se'ibra shalom b'nei Yisrael. He praised the Jews for having this amazing insight. Fascinating. Because of seje yochshiach shahoysa b'neim nevua, they must have had prophecy. How else would the Jews have figured out this amazing scientific discovery? So this parak, this discusses different proofs, different ways of looking at our tradition from the outside. Right? How does somebody in a scientific community look at the Torah? But what's interesting most to me about this parak is the line that he starts with. Go back to the beginning. We start at the end, go to the beginning. Page Yud Beis. Perek Chamishi Mekoros. Im Ritzoncha Likro Mekoros L'mashaba B'Prakim HaKodmim. If you want to read additional sources to what we talked about in our prior Prakim. In the prior Prakim we talked about the proof, so to speak, the demonstration of Emunah through looking at the world, the scientific world, We talked about it through the nation of Israel, our history, through human experience, through Torah, through the Bali Masorah. If you want to read this chapter, says Rav Volpe, great! I have sources for you. Tikra Perek Zeh. Read this Perek. Im Mekoros Einam Ma'ayinim Ma'anyinim Oscha. If these sources don't interest you, Tuchal L'daleg Alav. What does that mean? Yeah, skip it. What's he trying to say? Why is he telling us that this perek in the Sefer is optional? You want to read it? Great. If you don't want to read it, skip it. Why?
It's not religious people.
Could be because it's not religious people. Could be it's not Jewish people. It could be, yeah.
If you come in not wanting to like agree with the sources and agree with the ideas, then you're going to be able to refute all of this.
Great. That's the right. That's one half of this. That if you're coming at this from already a set agenda, so then you're going to have a way to address these sources. And by the way, the opposite is true. I bet you could also find sources from these non-Jewish people that are anti-Torah, that dispute the the archaeological claims about the stories in Tanakh. You could find people who say anything. And I think there's something also even deeper. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, has a really amazing book. He has many amazing books, but he has one book. It's a very dense book. It's not an easy read, but it's called The Great Partnership. He talks about the questions related to religion and science. So I was recently on a tour, like a nature walk tour in a cave. It's a whole long story. And the guide was saying how this cave was made three billion years ago or 30 million years ago, give or take a few billion, whatever. So that's a good question. I'm sitting there thinking, was it really made 3 billion years ago? What does that even mean? Doesn't it say in the Chumash, Bereishis Bara Elokim, and we're in year 5,784. So this is a very well-known world of study. How Torah and science, how do they coexist? And Rabbi Sacks in this book has a premise. He says, they're talking two different languages. They're dealing with two different issues. There isn't a conflict between Torah and the scientific world, biology or cosmology or astronomy. They're asking two different questions. The world of science is asking what? What is this? It takes a big item, a big thing, a big set of facts and tries to break them down, try to understand them, what they are. What is this? What does it mean that trees have many, many rings? Or when I was in this cave, the stalactites, the droplets of water that come down to form these concave shapes, they have rings in them. And that's how they suggest how old they are. These are scientific studies. They're trying to break down what is this. But Judaism, says Rabbi Sacks, Yadus, Emunah, is not asking what is this. It's not asking for the scientific properties of the wood that's standing right there. It's asking, what does this mean? Why do we have this? How do we put it all together? Is that the bell? Oh, good, good. Hatzlacha Rabbah. Hatzlacha Rabbah. Hatzlacha. Rabbi Sacks says that when it comes to Yadus, we're interested in understanding what does it mean. Of course, you can't build a sukkah without knowing math. You can't learn all of Hilchos Kalayim without knowing geometry. But it's a different kind of question. And I would say in a related vein, when you look at some of these sources, whether they're archaeology or philosophy or other types of non-Torah sources, they can be useful, but they're not really asking the same kinds of questions. They're more external than they are internal. So if they help you bolster your emunah, if you read the parsha about the kosher animals and you say, that is amazing, that's absolutely amazing, and that helps strengthen your emuna, read it, learn it. Great. But if you're kind of like, that's not really the internal question that I'm asking myself, that's not really the core, the essence, so then you can skip it. As opposed to the Torah itself, the emuna that we're cultivating from within, you can't skip that. That's it. That's it. When it comes to these types of external peripheries, so sometimes you'll go, there are seminars. Eish HaTorah, when I was young, they had this discovery seminar, and they found all kinds of fascinating things, phenomena, patterns. They might be interesting, and you might use them to bolster your emuna, but they're not your core emuna, which is why, what happens when it becomes disproved? When it falls apart, it doesn't shake your emuna, because it's not part of your core identity. So as you go through life and you're building your emuna, Rav Volpe says, you can find lots of things in the world that are going to be there to help you. But if they're not the core, you have to remember that. You have to distinguish between Torah and Chachma, or Torah and Mada, or Torah and philosophy. What is Torah? Torah is Torah's Emes. It's unadulterated. It's not contextualized. But then there are other things. So if they help you, great, use them. Appreciate them. But if you're not really interested in them, or if they don't really, you know, hit home the same way, it's totally fine. But don't forget, those are not the same. There's a difference between the added Makoros, Perek 5, and the previous four elements of Emunah, chapters 1 through 4, which are at our core in terms of our Torah and Emunah experience.